Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is wonderful. I tell you, I'm excited about 2014. I'm excited about today, but I'm very excited about going into 2014. I do believe it's going to be a time of acceleration. I really believe that at the end of 2014, we're going to look back and say, we were expecting a lot, we were believing for a lot, but wow, I had no idea God was going to do that and be so wonderful. So it's going to be a great year of blessings. So turn to your neighbor and say, it's getting good. It's getting awesomer all the time. Good stuff. Awesome stuff. I think Tim's going to get a ring for Jenna. And I don't even know where that came from. I don't know. Man, it was just popped right out of heaven. It was awesome stuff. No pressure. Yeah, none. Yeah, it's good. It's funny because we had Ruth's 90th and a lot of her family were there and they did a great job honoring their mom. And Ruth was looking out and Cheryl was just giving her a kiss and blessing her. She said, "Where's Carly? Where's Carly?" He said, "Well, Carly's over there." She said, "Oh, bring Carly here, you know." And she says, "Now, before I go to glory, I want to see a baby." So Carly said, "Bring Johnny." So Johnny said, "Yeah, Ruth's going to live another 10 years. Hallelujah." So, gotta love being a part of the family of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, going to finish up with our White Christmas series and going to go kind of more into a doctrinal tone and try to make some practical applications. But Psalm 51 verse 7 says, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. I mean, isn't that good? I love that. I mean, David was in a deep, nasty spot, and yet his confidence in God was that you will wash me and I will be whiter than snow. You will do it. I won't do it. I can't do anything about this, but you will do it, and you'll do it so wonderfully and completely that I will be whiter than snow. Isn't that good? How many feel whiter than snow today? Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the tangible sense of the freedom and the joy that I have in being free to worship you and know that my sins are forgiven. Every offensive thing in me, every broken thing in me, you took it, you dealt with it, and I am 100% totally free. And it is 100% really good news. Hallelujah. All right, good. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now," and this is the Lord. This is him speaking prophetically through the prophet Isaiah. He says, "Come now, let's settle this." It's like, come on, you don't be dwelling on your sin. Don't be dwelling on your failure. Don't be dwelling on your brokenness. Come on, I want to settle this with you once and for all. Come on, though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Let's settle this. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about getting that settled and figuring that out. And we talked the first week about offense and how, you know, offense can plug up your heart. And it says, Jesus said, it says it's impossible that no offense should come. How many know that's true? How many got offended this morning already at least once? I mean, it's impossible. It really isn't. Sometimes I think we have massive expectations that I should go through life and never be offended. Did you know that you're in a relationship with Jesus? Did you know that this isn't religion? This isn't some doctrine or dogma or denomination you're hooked up with. You are in a personal relationship with Jesus. And how many know that sometimes in that relationship, I don't know about you, but sometimes in my journey with God, sometimes I'm like, what's up with that? There's sometimes in my journey with him, and it is a relationship. How many know in every single relationship, you're going to have to go through stuff, and you can't just keep on saying, I'm going to discard that one. I'm going to not see them again. I'm not going to do that. Eventually, you got to unclog your heart and realize that relationships are there to help you grow up and get on with yourself, embrace the love of Jesus, and pour that out to others. So we got to have, you know, a lot of people don't have a white Christmas because of unresolved offense and broken things. And some people don't have a white Christmas because they just can't love themselves. They just can't get past some of their own disappointments. And I've had many people I talk to and I've said, you need Jesus. He doesn't want me. I mean, I'd walk in the door, the church would collapse. I mean, man, it's just, you know, I'm so evil. I'm so bad. There is no length that you could have ever gone to. I love that we didn't sing the one verse in Hark the Herald Angels sing that says, his blessing goes as far as the curse is found. No matter how far the curse could possibly be, his blessing penetrates all the way. I love the way the Apostle Paul said, your sin might be high as a mountain. His grace is higher than the skies. His grace superabounds anything you could ever imagine. So be a gracious person, knowing that you are so completely forgiving. Be forgiving. Knowing that you are so completely free, knowing that you've been forgiven so very, very much, walk in the light of that with every relationship and every person, and keep your relationships white. Keep yourself in the knowledge of what he's done for you, and you can enjoy a very, very white Christmas. Can I get an amen? 1 John 1 verse 5, it says, this is the message we have heard from him, and we declare it to you, that God is light. Not that light is God, but God is light. God is light. I love that. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. This is the message. And this is the Apostle John. The Apostle John, the other Gospels started off in describing the birth of Christ in different ways. Matthew wanted to relate him to the king and to Abraham and to the Jewish mindset. Luke wanted to relate him so that all people could see that he came from Adam, and so they used genealogies to begin their message. Mark, he was just in a hurry to get to the good stuff, so he just jumped right to John the Baptist, and he was in a hurry to tell you he's a miracle-working, wonderful God, he's nuts about you. But John began going all the way back to the beginning. John began to talk about Jesus and the birth of Christ, and the beginning of his gospel goes theologically all the way back to the beginning of time. So there it is in John 1, verse 1 to 18. We're going to begin and read John's version of the birth of a Savior. Now, you know, you talk about darkness, and darkness can be a bad thing. I think it was Werner put on his Facebook, was it today or yesterday? What did you put there, Werner? That the days are getting longer, right? I saw Werner earlier. He's right behind the post, right? You're excited. Why are you excited about the days getting longer? Hey, that's right. I mean, and did you know that there's such a thing as SAD, S-A-D? It's called a seasonal affective disorder. Now, did you know that they believe that 1 in 5 people suffers from SAD? Just look around. Just count 4 people around you. Go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, my. I mean, just look around. You can see the people suffering right now. Just look. But it's amazing. 1 in 5, it says, being sad. Sad is caused by a lack of exposure to sunlight, which in turn alters a person's brain chemistry. And during the fall and winter months, when the hours of daylight are shorter, less light passes through the eyes, which then inhibits the release of the important brain chemical serotonin. When serotonin is not released in sufficient quantities, symptoms of depression occur. Melatonin, another important brain chemical which relates to our sleep cycle, is released in greater quantities, adding to the depressive state. And how is seasonal affective disorder treated? The standard treatment for the disorder is light therapy. Light. People need light. You know what? When you're suffering from too much darkness, you know what you need? You need light. Jesus is the light of the world. And he is light. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. You know, you can get treated for a SAD disorder just by believing in Jesus, because Jesus is light. And all who come into him, they are light. And in him there is no darkness at all. It's recommended by the American Psychiatric Association, the American Medical Association, the American Mental Health, the National Institute for Mental Health. The principle behind all of this, they all subscribe, people need more exposure to bright light. So Cheryl and I are leaving this afternoon, and we're going to Cancun for a week. Woo! Just kidding. But the advantages of light therapy, it helps out 1 in 5 people. Light, people need light. God says, I'm not a light. God says, God is light. He is light. God is light. Now, it's a bit of a morbid thing, but students did an experiment. The university students, they took a bucket full of rats, put them in water, and then they shut the door, and they had cameras and probes, and they watched these rats, and how long would they swim for their life in a dark room? I know it's okay. So hope you don't have dreams. But for 6 hours, they swam. 6 hours, they swam until they all drowned. So then they decided, let's see what we can do. And they literally introduced a sliver of light into the bucket that they were in. And they clamored for the sliver of light. But instead of just 6 hours, the next group of rats swam for 17 hours. And the only difference was one sliver of light. It's amazing what light can do. There's a guy who they found in Yellowstone Park, those great big caverns. They were found by a guy who actually fell into the cavern. And he was just, you know, walking through the park one day and fell into the caverns. And that's how they found him. Somebody just happened upon it. But he was down there by himself, trapped there, and no way out, screaming, help me, what can I do? And he was there for a long, long time. When they found him, they said, my goodness, how did you handle that lonely situation and that just falling in there and nobody responding to your cries for help? He said, the only thing that saved me and didn't keep me from going mad was I could just see that ray of light from that hole, and I kept focusing on that, and that kept me hopeful. You know, light can be a powerful, powerful thing, but God is light. God is light. So come on, open your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we're going to read 1 all the way to verse 18. John chapter 1, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, all right? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. So there's John. He's going all the way back to the start. He's saying, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was God, and the Word was God, and he existed in the beginning with God. And God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. That's Jesus, the living Word, the Word, capital Word, Jesus. He is God, was with God, and everything you see was created by him. Nothing was created without him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light. His life brought light. His life brought light. Therefore, God is light. The light is life. God brought light to everyone. Say everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Let me read that again, because some of you were suffering from sad right there. It was really rough. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. No darkness, no manifestation of darkness, no form of darkness, nothing formed in darkness. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. And when the light shines in your life, the darkness cannot extinguish it. It cannot eliminate it. It cannot encroach upon it. When you got the light of life, you've got the power of God in your life and the power to overcome every single manifestation of darkness in your life, because God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. All right, verse 6, God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light. It's amazing that John, the Apostle John, is sharing theologically and doctrinally about Jesus and about his birth. And he wants to explain that he was the Word, but that Word was light, and that Word was the light of life. See, there is life. There's the God kind of life. There is the very glory of God that comes into your life when you accept this Jesus, who we celebrate his birth. This Jesus was the light of God sent to invade every form of darkness and lift you out of any limitation and bring the fullness of his life and power to you. That's why it's a Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish what he's saying was true. It is true. Everyone, he said, the light, so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. And the one who is the true light gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Verse 10, he came into the very world he created, but it didn't recognize him. You know, Jesus came in the world back then. They didn't recognize him. Even today, people still don't recognize him. But the light is still shining brightly right now. And that light can still penetrate the darkness right now. And that light will, as Cheryl said, cause many sons to come to glory. But they didn't recognize him. Verse 11, he came to his own people and they even rejected him. But to all who believed in him, say believed. See, what affects your future is not sin. It's not disappointment. It's not even your failures. What affects your life going forward? What affects your life for eternity? You don't get sent to hell because of sin. You get sent to hell because of what you believe. It says, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What do you believe? What you believe about sickness is affecting you right now. What you believe about Jesus is affecting you right now. What you believe about the full manifestation of his redemption, what you believe about that is affecting you right now. You are living and manifesting what you really, truly believe. And I want you to believe today that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Come into the light. Stay in the light. Don't let the darkness encroach upon the light. Stay fixed in the glory of God, because he will never, ever fail you. Amen, Pastor. They accept him because they believe him. And to those who believe, he gives them the right to become children of God, born from above. So the word became human and made his home among us. And he was full of unfailing love. Aren't you glad? He was full of unfailing love. He was full of grace, full of truth, full of unfailing love, one after another. This is the one I was talking about. This is the one. John testified about him and shouted to the crowds, this is the one I was talking about. Someone is coming who after me is greater than I am. He existed before me. From his abundance we have all received. From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love, his faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, he who himself is God, is near the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. So now you can't say no one has seen God anymore, because God decided that I'm not going to let anybody else speak on my behalf. I'm not going to let anybody else try to misrepresent me. Religion, tradition, all that stuff will not represent me. I am going to come and step into the scene. I will become a man, and I will reveal myself to mankind, so no one has to misunderstand who I am. Thank you, Jesus. So John goes right back to the beginning, and he describes the existence, the pre-existence of Christ, and then he talks about that one who was from the beginning, that one who was from the foundation of the world. God in the flesh came, Emmanuel, and he manifest himself with us. So man was full of light at the beginning. At the beginning, when man was created, when Adam and Eve were created, they were formed out of the dust of the ground. I don't really have time to give you the whole study about it, but the dust of the ground was glory dust. It wasn't fallen dust. It wasn't cursed dust. It literally was glory dust. It was earth that had resurrection power in it. He formed man out of glory dust and resurrection dust, and then he breathed into them the very life of God, the light of God breathed into them, and they stood up as glory beings manifesting the very light of the glory of God. See, but then man, when man decided to disobey, you know, there was only one thing, just don't eat of that tree. I mean, he could have kicked the dog that morning and still had a relationship with the Father. He could have, you know, he could have been very disobedient or even maybe mean to his wife. And you know what? He still would have had an amazing relationship with the Father. But he just did one stupid thing. They gave in, and the one thing God said don't do, they did. And when they did that, sin entered into the world, and man experienced an incredible fall. But what man lost when Adam did that, man lost the light of God. Man lost the glory of God. Man realized, oh my, I'm naked. Nothing had changed. They were still the absolute same. What did change was I no longer sensed the canopy of the life, the light, and the glory of God on my life. And for the first time, I feel desperately alone. You have no idea how badly the fall affected them. I mean, immediately after they did that, they must have literally just morphed into something ugly, because they literally lost the canopy of God's light and God's glory. It was a horrible, disgusting thing when sin entered the world. But see, what John wants to say is, in the beginning, it was light. In the beginning, God was there. In the beginning, the eternal purpose of God was established. But it got marred. It got messed up. But I'm telling you right now, when Jesus came into the world, the light, the purpose of God came into the world, the light came, and the darkness cannot ever, ever overcome it. You see, back in the garden, there was the potential for failure. Back in the garden, it still could have blown up. Back in the garden, all of God's purpose could have got marred. But you have to understand that his eternal purpose was to redeem us through Jesus. He knew all along he wanted to have a relationship with man that was going to be dependent upon his own personal hurt love, where he took every disappointment for you so that he could have a relationship with you that depended on him and him himself, a covenant he cut with himself for you so that no one could ever be placed in darkness again, because he took all darkness. He brought us into the light, and the darkness can never overcome it or encroach upon it ever again. Cheryl, to open my bottle for me. I just wanted to give you a quiet little Christmas sermon. I don't know. I cannot just read the Bible and go, but the unique one, he is himself God, near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. God bless the reading of his word. Hallelujah. I just think it's so exciting when you read the word. It's just exciting stuff. Romans 2. Look at Romans 2. Romans 2, 22 and 23. It said, we are made right with God. We are made right with God. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Did you do that? If you did that, you are right with God. That is awesome. You are right with God by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true. For everyone who believes, no matter who we are. I know, settle down. I know it's exciting. No matter who we are, for everyone has sinned. Everyone was included in that fall. Everyone was by nature an object of wrath. Every single person got tied into Adam. But now everyone through belief can be brought into Christ. Isn't that great? I mean, everyone was put into one big group over here so that by one act of his sin, his taking our sin for us, his birth, his life, his death, burial, and resurrection, through one act of him coming for us, he could take the whole group, and through one act, he could move everybody into the win column. And the only way you get in is believe. Isn't that great? All you got to do is believe. And let's look what it says. For we have all fallen short of God's glorious standard. We have all fallen short of God's glorious standard. We have all fallen short of God's glorious standard. Turn to your neighbor and say, you didn't do good enough. You fell short. Every single person. You know that? How many know that? How many know that the church for too long has been looking at the world and saying, you're wrong, you're messed up, you're screwed up? How many know that? How many know that the church has got to go through a radical transformation right now, because we got to quit trying to point out sin, and we got to start pointing people to a Savior? You know, last time I looked, when I read the book of James, it said that the Word of God is a mirror. So how many have ever looked in a mirror? It's not really a mirror, but it's close. Actually, it's not bad. So the Word of God is like looking into a mirror. You know what we've replaced the mirror with? We've replaced it with a pane of glass. So now I look right through that. I don't even see myself, but I see you. You know, we take the Word and the standards and the Word, and we use them as stones to beat other people up. But you know what? This is what the Word's for. That's what it's for. Oh, sorry about that. You know, we need to know that God wants to come, and he wants to take every single person who's broken, and he wants to bring them in the wind column and totally set them free. Cheryl referred to this in Hebrews 2, 10 and 14. It says, for God, whom though he made everything, he chose to bring many children to glory. You see, we fell short of glory. So what did God do? God wanted to once and for all take everybody out of the lost column, and through one act of believing, put us all in the glory column. Sadly, some of the church is still, even Charismaniac Church, still trying to get people to work their way into the glory column. No, you see, you believe your way into the glory column. That's what Jesus said to Martha. Remember, he said, did I not say if you believed, you'd see the glory of God? Didn't I say that? If you believe, you will see the glory of God. But we even as Charismaniac churches flying, you know, Mach 7 in the stratosphere, have given you 50 ways to be better at it. Here's one way to be better at it. The pure in heart, they will see God. The pure in heart, they will see God. Well, my heart's not pure. Yes, it is. If you've been washed in the blood, you're pure. You are white, you are light, and in you there is no darkness at all. But we're complicating stuff all the time, putting people on this treadmill of trying to get yourself in a realm where, you know, you can experience God better. God did it once and for all. How could I do it better than what he did? Did he not do it good enough? Did he not? Yes, he did. Let's quit drinking out of the cup of the law and let's fully get intoxicated on the grace of God. All right, settle down, Pastor. My God. All right, okay. Hebrews says, come on. He said he chose to bring many children to glory, and then he was going to make them work really hard for the seven stages of glory. Put them on a treadmill of da, da, da. The Son also became flesh and blood, for only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, the one who had the power over death. What death? Spiritual death, the one who caused, you see, because Adam and Eve didn't die physically that day, they died spiritually, and he has the power to keep people bound in spiritual ignorance and darkness. But he's the prince of darkness, but the light is come. The light is come. Okay, so God wants the earth full of the knowledge of his glory. God wants the earth full of the knowledge of his glory. Christmas is the Spirit of God colliding with the natural realm to manifest his glory in what can be seen. Just in case you needed a definition for your friends. What is Christmas? It's the 25th of December. We all go and get whacked and drunk and give gifts to friends and get crazy and eat a lot of turkey. Well, that does happen, but that's not Christmas. Christmas is the Spirit of God colliding with the natural realm to manifest his glory in what can be seen. It's not a pretty little story. It's an invasion of a new kingdom. It might be really weird looking. It might be really strange. I mean, what other nation would invade another nation by putting a child in the womb of a teenager? But God, in his wisdom, said, here's how I'm going to take over. And God, Christmas is all about God invading the earth, God invading the darkness to literally turn everything around once and for all. All right, shout back at me just for fun. Even if you don't get it, just wave, shout, have fun. All right, John, settle down. I got to read now. All right, just, you know. All right. John chapter 12, 46. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust, all who believe in me, will no longer remain in the dark. All who work hard won't be in the dark. All who make efforts won't be in the dark. No, it says if you believe in me, say believe. If you believe that you're still in the darkness, you are. But it's not because of God's lack or an incomplete work. It's because you really believe that, or you've been told that, or you've had some false doctrine dumped on your head. But Jesus said, everyone who believes in me, it says they will no longer remain in the dark. I mean, man, this is simple stuff. Jesus tried to make it as simple as he possibly could. I was reading this passage this morning. It's about a time when Jesus healed somebody, John 9. I love this story. But just to look at a couple verses, he said, we must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who sent us. Now, he's talking about healing this guy. This blind guy comes, and Jesus says, we must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming when no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he spit on the guy, put mud packs in his eyes, and told him to go wash and be healed. So he's saying, I am the light of the world. And then he did something that tells us that when you are the light of the world, you are manifesting the kingdom and the reign and the rule of God. The light of the world, everywhere it goes, is overcoming darkness in every form. The light of the world is manifesting the miraculous nature of the kingdom of God. Wherever the light goes, he said, I am in the world. And while I am in the world, I'm the light of the world. And wherever the light goes, it must overcome and dispel darkness. So Jesus said that. I mean, Jesus said in his first miracle he did when he was in Cana of Galilee, when he's at that wedding, they ran out of wine. It says he turned water into wine. And when he turned the water into wine, it says he did this to reveal his glory. He did this. You see, glory, manifesting light, is manifesting the supernatural nature of the kingdom that you are from. Manifesting it in your life, in your nature, but also in the supernatural activity that when you come across darkness, you insist that it has to go. Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge. Say knowledge. Let me tell you this. What's going to happen in the future, Pastor? What'll it look like? What should we expect as believers? Where are things going? Here's where they're going. It's going to get ugly. It's going to get dark. We're going to have to get generators and go north and plant, you know, pea pods and just hang on for dear life and say, Jesus, come get us out of this mess. It's not what's in the Bible. Here's what Jesus said, or what Habakkuk said, prophesied. He said, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What does that mean? As the waters cover the sea gives us the qualifying nature of it, which means how do the waters cover the sea? Really heavy. Really heavy. So what does knowledge mean? Knowledge means tangible. It's even the word yada. It's the word that's used of being intimacy between a man and a woman. They went into the tent and they yada. So there was some intimacy. There was something real. They knew each other in a big way. So it says the world will know. The world will have strong interaction, strong intercourse with what? It'll be heavy, weighty, and everybody's going to know it. Nobody will ever be able to deny it. The whole world is going to experience the full-on, powerful, weighty glory of God. And John, when he wrote that, he said, this is the light that came into the world, and we have seen the glory of the one and only begotten of the Father. What is this light? It is the glory of God, the goodness of God, the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God. It is the tangible, manifest presence of God himself. The light, the weighty glory is going to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Everybody's going to see it, and it's going to be some good. Oh, I just pulled my... Some good. Matthew 5, 14 and 16, look what Jesus says. Jesus said, while I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But look what he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. He said, you are the light of the world. You, who? You. Get ugly now. Turn to your neighbor with a big ugly finger and say, you. Come on. Not that finger. You. Listen to this. Here's what the Bible says. You are the light of the world. Not a light, not a competing light, not you sparkle a little bit, not some sparkle here, sparkle. You are the light of the world. You know what? If you are the light of the world and you're not shining, how gross is the darkness. You know, Jesus did everything he needs to do. John said he came into the world, did all that he did so that he could take all of your failure. He could restore you to your eternal purpose, and you can now rule, represent, and reproduce the glory of God everywhere you go. And that's the good news of Christmas, is I've been restored to the eternal purpose of God of being an image bearer of his glory and filling the earth with his love, his peace, his goodness, his joy, and his power. Merry Christmas! Ho, 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 ho. All right. Merry Christmas. And, you know, if you got a light, it's like a city on a hilltop. It cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand. We are standard bearers. We are bearers of the light of God, where it gives light to everyone in the house in the same way. Let your good deeds shine out. Let them shine out and manifest the kingdom of God. Let it be a Christmas of Christmases. Let it be a Christmas where we are free, where we know personally a white Christmas, where we know that we don't have to. We can plow through offense. We don't have to be offended. We can move in our own strength and power, knowing that God loves us. We can loose his kingdom everywhere we go because we are standard bearers, image bearers of the very light of God himself. You are the light of the world. If you don't like what's going on in your home, in your family, in your job, in your student, if you're a student, in your school, in your city, in your neighborhood, in your province, in your country, if you don't like it, politics isn't the answer. It's not who you voted for. You are the answer. You are the light bearer. You have the power to change the world. That's the message of Christmas. All right, let me quickly give you a couple things and we're going to wrap it up. Say thank you, Jesus. So God is still invading this rebellious planet. His invasion strategy is the same. He wants to plant himself just like that little child was planted in the womb of a teenager. God himself, he literally, the word says it's the divine sperma of God. Gets planted in you And that grows and it becomes fully manifesting the glory of God. Just as Jesus was the incarnation of God, you have received the same divine deposit, Christ in you, the hope of glory, so that you can go out now and the incarnation continues one person to another. And the glory of God is going to fill the earth, not by some divine act of God where he comes and goes, whoa, glory, glory, glory. It's going to happen because out of my belly flows glory, out of your belly flows glory, out of your belly flows glory, out of your belly flows a river, out of your belly flows more rivers. And then as those streams come together, there's a violent manifestation of the goodness of God. Merry Christmas. All right. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, Christmas, Christ, Christ. What is Christ? Christ is the anointed one. It means to smear, to rub, or to pour. Christ, the anointed one, to smear, to rub, or to pour. Christmas, Christ, Mass. Mass, what is Mass? Mass is a celebration or a physical substance and weight. So put them together and what do you have? You have Christmas is a celebration of the concentration and smearing of all physical substance by the birth of Jesus Christ the Lord. Merry Christ Mass. Merry Christ is getting on everything. Merry Christ is getting on every aspect of my life. Merry Christ is getting into every avenue of my world. Merry Christ Mass. It's getting on everything and it's causing a transformation from glory to glory. Merry Christmas. Mary smeared with heavy glory, lobs of glory. Mary soaking, rubbing, intoxicating anointing. Mary smearing of every physical aspect of your life with the very tangible substance of heaven. Mary sloppy, rich glops of glory dew all over everything you have and love and hold dear. Mary sloppy blessing from heaven impacting every single thing in your life. Mary glory. Glorious globs of gloop bringing forth and manifesting every heavenly wonderful. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I'm going to wrap it up with this passage right here. Right here, this passage, because it talks about the glory of God. It talks about what happens when you're in the presence of God. How many would like to know, well, how should that work in my life? What does that look like? I mean, if I have Christ in me, the hope of glory, if I am heavily messed up with all of the power of God, what does that look like? I'm glad you asked me. Isaiah 64:1-4. Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down. So what are they saying? See, they'd experienced a visitation. We don't have to have a visitation. He's come. We have an open heaven. They were hoping for an open heaven. They were hoping for a visitation of God. We have been visited once and for all. The Spirit of God has come and he hasn't been taken back. We are living under an open heaven. It was pierced through because of the finished work of the cross. The Holy Ghost has come. He is not returning and he is going to every single day accelerate and increase the glory of God. But they understood a time when there was a visitation, and they're trying to describe what it's like to live in the presence and the power of God. So they said, the mountains shake at your presence. Fires burn up the brushwood. Fires cause water to boil. Here's them describing the presence of God. This is what the presence of God is like. Mountains shake. Fires burn up the brush. Fire, it causes the water to boil. To make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things we did not look for, we didn't even expect, you came down. The mountains shook in your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard or perceived by the ear, nor has I seen any God beside you who acts for the ones who wait for him. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remember you in your ways. Now, I'm going to give you really quick 7 things you should expect when the glory of God hits you. Smile at your neighbor and say 7 things. Number one, real easy. When you're walking in the glory of God and you're just experiencing and have revelation knowledge and really believe this, when you're walking in the glory of God, dead areas are removed from your life. You don't have to tell somebody about the stuff. Like, you don't have to play the pane of glass. You can introduce them to Jesus and tell them that the word is really important. And you know what? They're going to work it out. You know what? Because when you come face to face and you've got an encounter with God, you start looking at him through the word. And you know, let's not get into this critical, judgmental stuff. That's why people can't stand church. They love this church. Why? Because we introduce you to a Jesus who is good. And you know what? He will work it out. He will work it out. When you get in the presence of God, dead areas are removed from your life. Number two, the power and passion is restored to your life. It says it causes the water to boil. There's a passion that enters your life when you get full of the Holy Ghost. When you get full of God and he gets on you, suddenly you have a passion for things you weren't passionate about before. And suddenly you've lost the passion for things that used to consume your life. Suddenly your whole world shifts and suddenly the light consumes all the dark and things you don't need. And it brings you into something wonderful with God. The dead areas removed and passion to serve God, passion to tell other people about God, passion to boil in the anointing of God, to give it away, comes into your life. When you get in the presence of God, dead areas are removed and the power of God and the passion of God is restored. Number three, authority over the darkness is given to you. You recognize and you get a revelation that your name is made known to my adversaries. When I'm in your presence, when I'm walking with you, I tell you, their darkness cannot overcome the light. I get so caught up in you. I mean, things just are obliterated. I step into a new realm of authority and all of my adversaries are completely defeated before me. That's what happens when you're in the presence of God. What else happens? You get a global vision installed. I was having a hard time framing that one. I just thought installed. How many need an upgrade? You know, when you come into the presence of God, suddenly, you know, you come into the presence of God, you start going, I believe for my family. And then you lift your eyes a little higher, go, I believe for everybody at work too. And then all of a sudden you're like, you know, I'm believing for my whole neighborhood. Then you look up and go, I'm a part of a church that believes to change the city. Oh my goodness, I'm going to go to Haiti and change the world. Oh my, I'm going to... Suddenly, when you know you get in the presence of God and the glory of God's all over you, you get a vision that's lifted higher and you get hooked up with his heart and you want to see the world transformed by the power of God. Another thing that happens is that number five, the impossible becomes a reality. No darkness. I mean, no darkness. No darkness. I'm going to go to Toronto. I got to pray for my aunt. And my aunt's been told she got two cancerous tumors. They're going to hit her with a massive dose of chemotherapy. And, you know, 7 years ago, they told her she had 7 years to live. And now they're not offering her much hope. They're going to whack her with a whole bunch of chemotherapy and see what happens. But they found several places now where she had lymphoma and it's manifesting in several places now. And it's active. How many know the light of the world has come? Yeah, I don't know if it covers that, though, Pastor. Cancer is a windy word. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll give you a bigger windy word. Jesus. The name above every name. And you know how you get to activate that stuff? Only believe. You believe? I believe. I'm looking forward to getting. I tried to go 2 times this week, and I keep getting told it's not good. This isn't a good time to come. But I'm, oh man, I am eager to get up there and slap the jumper cables on and go. Man, look for opportunities this season. Loose it, because you know what? The impossible becomes a reality when you're hooked up to the glory of God. Yeah, I'm not doing that. I've tried it before, and my life sucks. So I'm not doing any of that. You just get me all excited for nothing. Grow up! Shake it off! We've had a few defeats. Be absolutely honest with you. I've had a few things I didn't understand, didn't go the way I thought. But you know what? That still will never, ever change what I see in this book. I've had a few defeats. I've had a few things. I didn't go the way I'd hoped. But I tell you what, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I may not understand that, but I'm not backing up one little bit, because my circumstances will never, ever rule over. My circumstances will never, ever rule over the word. His word is true. And if he said it, he means it, and I'm going to stand on it no matter, because I don't walk by sight, I walk by faith in God. And I've seen too many results to back up now. All right, let's move on. Number six, immovable obstacles dissolve. You've been believing God for a breakthrough. I'm telling you, believe in 2014 like never before. Stretch your faith. Oh, I've stretched before. Stretch again. Come on. You know, sometimes it is just a matter of timing. Sometimes it is just there's some other things falling in place that we don't know about. But you know, if God spoke it, he's faithful. He's going to do it. Shake yourself. Stir yourself up. Let's go for it. Number 7, divine partnership is revealed. I love that. It says that he works for those who wait. He works for those who wait. That sounds strange, doesn't it? God works for those who wait. Yeah, have you done any wait training? A lot of people don't know how to wait. They don't know how to even still themselves. They don't know how to even just quiet themselves and wait on God. But you know, when you wait on God, you get hooked up with God. It says he works for those who wait. See, in our minds, we're like, oh, he works for those who are active. And yet God says he works for those who wait. How many know that waiting is really, really active? Some people think waiting is doing nothing. No, waiting is passionate. Waiting, I mean, getting before God and just standing there saying, I'm here. What are you doing here? I'm standing here. What are you standing here for? I'm standing here for what I'm standing here for. I'm done. Yeah, I'm standing. It takes passion to wait. It takes passion to say, I'm only going to be moved by God alone. It takes passion to still yourself and say, heaven will be the cause of my life and my only effect. It takes passion to wait on God. But he says, I act. How many want God's activity in their life? He says, I act for those who wait for me. Amen, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. There's a couple, you know, nice Christmas sermons the last couple of weeks. But right now, I'm telling you, it's all about the glory of God. It's all about the glory of God. This is a season of unprecedented glory. So come on, this Christmas, let his light shine. This Christmas, let everything around you be smeared by the Christ in you. We got two excited people. One more slide, just one. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've heard that before. Honestly, there's only one more slide. That doesn't mean I won't talk about it for half an hour, but there is only one more slide. No, there is. This is it. This is all. This is it. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry, happy, blissful. I mean, just whacked out. Merry Christmas. Joy and bliss Christmas. Merry Christmas. Not sad Christmas. Merry Christmas. I'm telling you, whatever is making you sad, whatever is causing you to not be glad, I'm telling you, Santa Claus is coming. I'm just, I tell you, you know what Christmas is all about? Almighty God invaded this situation for you. Whatever's before you, fear not. Whatever is in front of you, don't be afraid. Because God has loosed victory upon you. You should only expect to go from glory to glory and triumph to triumph. That's all. Now listen, here's what the prophet said. He said, arise, my people, let your light shine. This is from the Living Bible. It says, arise, my people, let your light shine. You know, I love that because first of all, arise. What does that mean? Quit being dopey and sleepy and sad. Arise, shake yourself. Merry Christmas. Arise, and then it says, let your light shine. You've got the light. The problem is, come on, let it shine. Let it out. Let it out. It says, arise and shine for all the nations to see, for the glory of the Lord is streaming from you. Maybe a paraphrase, but probably the best translation of that verse. Because it's not coming upon you. It is literally coming out of your belly, because come unto me and drink, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Arise and shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord is streaming forth from you. It says, darkness as black as night shall cover the peoples of the earth, but the glory of the Lord will shine from you, and all the nations will come to your light. How awesome is that verse? And I didn't make it up. I didn't write it. God did. And every single word from God has power to manifest that for which he sent it. So get stirred up. Get excited. Say Merry Christmas and expect the Christ to smear everything in your life with his heavy, weighty glory. Have a Merry Christmas. Command sickness to go, brokenness to go, health issues to go, poverty to go, pain to go, and loose and smear it with the very goodness of God. Merry Christmas! Come on, stand up with me if you can. I know some of you now are so heavy with the glory, you can hardly stand it. Glory to Jesus. Come on, raise your hands and just everybody's gonna pray and just love on Jesus right now. Father, we bless you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this incredible plan of redemption. Thank you for the power that was released. Thank you for the promises that we know are yes and amen. Because of this wonderful promise, I have victory. You have brought me into light, and that means I've been delivered from every bit of darkness. Forgive me for letting darkness even encroach on it. Forgive me for mindsets that allow the darkness to manifest when I have been brought into the light. Father, let us radiate light. Don't let us be plugged up, messed up, goofed up. Don't let our filaments not be working. Don't let us not be plugged in. God, we want to be radiant beams of your glory all the time. But right now, we want it to be a Merry Christmas. And Father, let your glory shine everywhere we go. Let your goodness be manifest, be honored, and increase in and through us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Now put your hands down, and everybody's praying, and your heads are bowed, and your eyes are closed. I just want to do this. I just want to ask everybody in the room, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Because it literally says that you can come and you can know him and you can come into the light. And it literally says that he gives you the right and the privilege to be a child of God. And all you have to do is believe. You just have to say, I believe that Jesus came for me. He was God in the flesh reconciling me to the Father. I believe in Jesus. And if you've never done that and you don't know him, I want this to be a Merry Christmas for you. And if you want to say, I want to know Jesus, I want to know him, then I was just going to ask you in a couple seconds, I'm going to ask you to put up your hand. And as soon as I say three, I'm going to go one, two, three. And if you don't know him, put up your hand and we're going to pray for you. And you'll leave here today. It'll be the merriest Christmas ever. Ever. I mean it. You ready? You got God working on you right now, touching your heart, and you just know that you want to know him. So listen, here it is. Nobody's looking around. It's just you and God, and it's just between you and God. But you got to know him, and he wants to know you. So here it is. You ready? One, two, three. If you don't know him, put up your hand. Put it up really, really high so I can see it. All right, come on, let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing season. We thank you for Jesus. Even in your world, you in your word, you through Paul said he is the indescribable gift. It's you can't even describe the goodness of God. It's so incredible. It's hard to even describe what Jesus means to each and every one of us. And thank you for Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for invading my darkness. And thank you for bringing me into light. And thank you for giving me that saving faith to trust you and to walk in the fullness of your glory. But now, as you were the light, and you said, I am the light, and I got to be the light, now you said, we are the light. You said, you are the light of the world. And so now, Father, as we look at what Jesus did, and we look at all that you manifest, we want to, this Christmas season, we want to be consciously aware that when we walk into situations, we bring the kingdom of God. We're packing. I am packing heavy. I don't just have presence. I've got the presence. I don't just have gifts and bows. I got the glory of the Almighty. And have our eyes open to see divine appointments where we can loose your kingdom and manifest the light of your glory and cause darkness to go in Jesus' name. So, Father, thank you for this incredible house. Thank you for my family right here. Thank you for the wonderful Christmas that we're having and we are experiencing and will continue to experience. And thank you for the honor and privilege of serving this beautiful house. And I, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just add my biggest, richest blessing to each and every one here. Father, they're fondly and affectionately in my heart, everyone. And I just pray that they would realize that every dream is come true. Every dream is realized. Every child is restored to you. Every sickness is gone, defeated, and broken. Every single despair, every single sense of hopelessness, I command it to go in Jesus' name. And let your presence saturate and fill each and every one of these homes. Let it be a glorious season of testimonies of your goodness and your grace. Be honored and glorified in it all, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.